Welcome to Our Thoughts Tonight. Join us as we chat in a mellow mood about music, philosophy, psychology, and anything else that will come to mind. Enjoy.
Our Thoughts Tonight. We are here on Our Thoughts Tonight. Ashok is here.
Hello.
Zach is here.
Hola.
And I'm your host, Che Guevara.
Oh my God.
Nice.
Che Guevara. Can I overthrow the Cuban government? Well, today we're talking about a few things, catching up. It's been a while.
Why don't you drop the bomb on them already, though?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Speaking of bombs, the Unabomber died.
Unabomber.
Yeah, that's big news. That's at least for our show. And we have the whole submersible Titan shit going on. And then probably some other news, probably about some Trump indictments and all that crap.
Is he going to be president?
I hope not, man. If he doesn't go to jail, I think he's going to.
But, oh, sick, dude.
Yeah. Well, we'll get into it after, you know, as always, Crucem Sanctum.
Crucem Sanctum Subit.
We are back on Our Thoughts Tonight.
What's going on?
Good,
what's new? What's new in the news?
What's poppin'?
It is June, by the time I edit this, July of 2023.
July 4th episode.
Dang.
Almost yeah. July 4th.
Yeah.
And at this point, about a week since the Titan submersible.
Has it really been a week?
I got told the news at like 3 a.m., so I don't know what day it was.
It was going on for like 4 days.
Yeah. My girlfriend's like, oh, did you hear about the Titanic thing? I was like, another boat sunk? And she's like, no, it wasn't.
They found human remains today or yesterday, whatever it was.
Yeah. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
As of yesterday, if you haven't heard, as of yesterday of recording this, I should say, they found human remains. They haven't released any other information. I was looking up what it might have been. It'll probably be a while before they identify anything.
Do we know how it happened? Was it water pressure?
I think it's pressure because it basically just exploded.
Yeah.
So it just crushed itself.
They were using a carbon fiber tube, essentially, which cannot withstand the...
Didn't they die before the explosion or something like that? Or like they didn't experience the amount of pain or something along those lines?
Well, it happens. Yeah. I mean, I think it was like... I don't want to say the number because I don't want to get it wrong, but it was like per square inch.
Yeah.
The amount of pressure was just...
It was insane, yeah.
It's so much heavier than like what the nervous system can react to that they would have died before they even knew they were going to die. But also, there are conflicting theories that say they might have heard the submersible crackling because it was carbon fiber.
Yeah.
We don't know.
Man.
Yeah, crackle before...
Well, I was thinking of the oxygen, but I think they ran out of...
They didn't even get a chance to run out of oxygen.
Yeah, they just exploded, yeah.
They just, combusted. Man. It was like, you know, blink of an eye, apparently.
I will say, like, the story is interesting and all, but, like, at the same time, the fucking refugee ship near Greece.
500.
Yeah, refugees. A lot more people died, and, like, that was not
and
hitting
the
news.
Coast Guard of which country, I can't remember, they refused to help.
Why?
And there's an international...
It's refugees, probably, you know.
There's an international agreement that... It doesn't matter who it is, what the circumstances are. If there is a ship lost at sea in distress and they're sending out distress signals, doesn't matter if you're at war with this country, you're obligated to help international guidelines. Yeah. And they didn't.
Yeah. Well,
500 people?
Like, I don't think that's the first time.
That's not our problem.
Like so many refugees. I'm not sure about Greece, but like so many refugees off the coast of Italy have died. The shit like that, like negligence.
Countless times.
Yeah. I mean, again, that's what I'm saying. It's like, because you were mentioning off the whole like interest about the ocean or whatever, the water.
Yeah.
Thing,
which I was going to ask you actually.
Yeah.
I'll get to that. I'll give my psychological explanation here. Okay. But I want to ask why you guys think it's such, why the story has drawn so much interest.
Well, I think part of it is also like, because for example, the whole water thing, like, I think that's that you said earlier about like, you know, it's like the biological thing, you know, it's water danger. I think that's partially true. But like the mere fact that like no one was talking about the refugee ship, I think it's like part of the media, part of the sensation of it. You know, it's a cool story. It's a couple people stuck in a little boat, you know, in a little submersible, you know, going to the Titanic. I think
you
everybody
can almost
fucking
imagine
knows
yourself in it.
Yeah, it's like everyone's going to talk about it, or at least the media's going to push it. And then everyone's going to talk about it.
Push it more than the other thing happening.
Yeah. Because the other one's political and that's like controversial.
So few people too, that's the thing.
Yeah. I think if there's a story that's going on that's inherently not very political, I feel like that's like prime stuff for the
They're
media.
Like, oh, distraction.
Yeah, or yeah, it could be a distraction, or it could be curveball just like distractions. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that I'm saying that what happened has like no ground or value, like it's sad what happened, but
yeah,
saying other people from outside
the richest
perspective
man in Pakistan died. Yeah.
Yeah. Could use that to push that more than whatever catastrophic thing is happening across the world.
Yeah. I mean, at the same time, the whole Trump audio leaks were going on, and like, that's pretty big news. I saw way more shit on
big news.
I was talking about it yesterday, and so many elements in one at the same time. Like, one, you've got the billionaires in the submersible, so there's a lot of hate for billionaires in the heat of neoliberalism. And then there's the fact that the Titanic, which is a cultural phenomenon, and the fact that the people that died on the Titanic were poor people generally.
Yeah.
And then you have the aspect of the hunter-gatherer risk, which historically an evolutionary risk in psychology for people who don't know, are risks that our hunter-gatherer ancestors dealt with. Like dealing with fire, gravity, water, large bodies of water. Those are considered hunter-gatherer risks. So we have an inclination to be drawn to those from predisposition of adaptations.
Wait, hold up. Like how much is like large bodies of water actually like something for hunter-gatherers? Because I feel like...
Pretty significant.
I'm not sure when they were when they started sailing.
Well, we didn't start sailing until later on, but like bodies of water were dangerous to us for pretty significant periods of time.
I feel like I feel like the reason why it attracts so much attention is because like under the ocean, it's like so much of it is unexplored.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So more people are drawn to that kind of
shit. Exactly. That's the hunter-gatherer risk.
Yeah, that's the whole...
The unknown.
Yeah.
And you know, risk involves unknown elements. Yeah. Like if you were to look up a definition of risk, it says the outcomes of an action which are unknown, for example.
Yeah.
And so we all are seeing these images of the submersible, which we can, you know, project our own emotions into that submersible and what could have been going on.
Yeah.
And then you add the element of these hunter-gatherer risks, which are in our DNA.
Yeah.
And just like seeing a spider. Have you ever seen a spider?
Yeah.
You know?
Of course.
And you're like, oh my God.
No, I've never seen a spider.
Like, in
the
a moment,
a spider,
like,
bro?
Have you ever seen a spider when you weren't expecting to see a spider?
Yeah.
I expect that shit, man.
You jolt. Yeah. You know, unless you've, you know, learned to not be afraid of spiders.
Yeah, you're just like,
which you can do.
Too. But no, that's
a ridiculous
story
too.
It is a ridiculous story. There's many elements. I'm not saying that's the
There's a lot of
it's the unknown factor, and then the risk, and then like knowing the outcome of it. So like if it's
everyone wants to know that.
If it's like they're exploring something that's unknown, and there's a tragedy involved, the likelihood of that being put out everywhere for everyone, like more people are drawn to that shit. It's like how many people watch, you know, like murder. Documentaries or whatever. It's almost like the same thing.
Totally.
Although it wasn't, it was like a nature thing. Yeah. It was a nature murder.
I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't like that invested into it. I know it was a huge,
I didn't
like,
even fucking know. I thought it was the second Titanic that got sunk, dude. I was like, what? They made a second one?
It was all over the place.
That's the funniest thing, too. Is
I
like,
I found out at 3 a.m. in the morning, half awake.
It's called the Titan, right?
Titan.
Yeah. The Titanic is Titanic. It's like a Titan. No, this shit's the real shit. I'm the real Titan. It's fucking sunk immediately.
You heard of that book? I think it was called Something of the Titan. And it was a book written a few years, I think in the late 1800s or early 1900s, about a ship called the Titan, which sailed the same trajectory that the Titanic eventually would. And then it sank. And then people started to draw parallels between this novel and
the
Titanic.
Third one.
And now people are saying, like, look, the Titan, the Ocean Gate Titan, and the Titan book.
Wreck of the Titan?
Yeah, that one. Wreck of the Titan.
Wreck of the Titan or Futility.
What year?
1898.
Yep.
That's 14 years, I think, before Titanic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And there's a bunch of parallels between that and the Titanic and now the Titan in the same area.
Futility.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, that's
hilarious.
Why would you name it the Titan?
So the moral of the story is don't name your fucking boat or ship with a T or have the word Titan in it.
Dude, I feel my fucking PlayStation name is Titan, dude. Now I'm worried.
Yeah, Titan TA.
Yeah.
Oh, I mean,
sorry.
At least I'm not a boat, yeah.
James Cameron has like appeared in this last week and a half. He's got some great takes, man.
Yeah, he invests invests so much money in fucking just exploring like that Titanic and shit.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, there's documentaries of him doing that shit.
Yeah, it's popping up on my YouTube.
Yeah.
As it recommended.
I watched all of those before any of this shit happened. Yeah.
Like the one, I think it's called the Challenger or something. It's like this green thing.
Yep.
That's amazing. Oh, wow. Do you see how high tech that thing is in comparison to the Ocean Gate?
Yeah. But he did a lot of stuff before he made the movie the Titanic, because James Cameron, the same guy who made Avatar, made Titanic, in case you didn't know. But he did a lot of research, like underwater research and shit like that, spent a lot of money like going underwater and like basically reimagining how it would look in real time, like today, if it hadn't have sunk. Mm-hmm. And then after that, he got even more involved with it. And just for fucking curiosity's sake, and watching those documentaries of him exploring like what remains of the Titanic is like, it's cool, but it's also fucking eerie at the same time. Cause like you said, we were talking earlier, there's just like where people stood, there's just shoes where skeletons would be. Yeah, it's a graveyard. And it's sad.
A lot of poor people.
But it's also interesting at the same time. It's
very interesting.
Yeah. You know,
yeah, there's
a lot of shoes though everywhere.
I feel like a lot of the people over the last, I think it got discovered in the 70s or something like that, but over the last, you know, 40, 50 years, whatever, that has been discovered, haven't gone down there with much reverence for the dead. You know, a lot of people have, like James Cameron obviously has, not just a respect for the Titanic, he has a deep respect for the sea.
Yeah.
And because like this respect for the sea phenomenon comes exactly from the innate evolutionary risks that I'm talking about. Like these legends and stories, they don't just appear from the blue because somebody came up with them.
Yeah.
They're usually based off of things that we've dealt with for hundreds of thousands of years.
Yeah.
And you were mentioning true crime. That would be considered like intersexual or intrasexual competition, which...
Yeah.
Was also considered a hunter-gatherer risk, death, because of aggression and a larger human adversary.
Yeah.
That is also a hunter-gatherer risk.
Yeah.
It's usually nothing new. It's just more media populated than ever.
Man,
it appeals to that part of the brain that unknown because it's so ingrained within us evolutionarily.
Yeah.
Yeah, water on a mythic level. I mean, like a lot of world mythologies, like have intense like connotations of like the universe being made of water. That's how Chinese mythology works. That's how pretty much every mythology, you know, Egyptian, Norse, everything's pretty much just made out of water.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I'm just wondering because like for example, like rivers, right? So like rivers are, you know, obviously are very beneficial to early humans. You know, it's like where the first civilizations rose up. But there was like also, you know, the flooding of like the Nile or the not as much, but Tigris and Euphrates. So there was like, I guess, a risk for that as well. But it was like this kind of like a like good and evil. Like it was a good thing because it gave crops, but it was bad because it would flood. But, you know, but it had like a certain level of consistency.
Same thing with fire.
Yeah.
Fire is the same way. And it's considered hunter gatherers.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And at least with water, like there was that level of consistency of like, it's going to flood. Like it almost like I could imagine early humans, like, you know, that being a reason to deify, you know, the river or deify, you know, some sort of spirit involved with it.
Because there's a element that's out of your control.
Yeah. Out of your control. But also, you know, early deities were like that. Were not really good or bad. They were just like spirits. They were, you know, same thing with the river. But I'm wondering about like the sea or the ocean, like, because I feel like that's like to a level somewhat different than like a river, you know. It's like it's vast. It's not impossible to cross. Like for a long time, sea travel was way more beneficial than the crossing over a mountain. Like if you were a village and there was a village on the opposite side of the mountain, you may never see that village for centuries.
Mm-hmm.
But if there was like a body of water, like a small sea, totally, you would create your civilization.
Mm-hmm.
So I wonder, like, exactly how that
this is reminding me of that movie with Jack Black.
Huh? No, I'm not sure about rich. It's like the connotations of river or rivers are compared to like large bodies of water, like seas or oceans, and what that really means. Like, you know, I guess for like the mythic idea of or the veneration of water or whatever.
Yeah, that would be interesting. I mean, rivers probably were the
that's like probably the main reason, the original, right?
And another thing that to add with to do with like hunter-gatherer risks is that not only are they dangerous, but they're beneficial.
Yeah.
So if you're able to navigate through those hunter-gatherer risks, if you're able to create a fire, or if you're able to swim through the river and or find fish in the river, or if you're able to socialize with a different clan of hunter-gatherers back, you know, in prehistoric times, because socializing with outside groups was also considered a hunter-gatherer risk, which is like why social anxiety exists. If you're able to do those, despite the fact that they're dangerous or make you uneasy,
you're more of an asset.
Yeah, you're more of an asset. So there's not only a fear, but a draw towards these things, which is why, you know, true crime and those things are so interesting.
Yeah, the more you understand, the more that you're needed around.
Exactly.
Or the more you can endure, I should
absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely. Yeah, you're an asset and you're more attractive, which means procreation.
Yeah, you end up being the leader.
Your evolutionary fitness is increased that way.
I was going to say, not risk-wise, but like, again, I'm just going back to fucking water again. Like...
Avatar.
No, what was it? Like the idea, like you know how in like early Jewish like cosmology, like
no,
like
early Jewish cosmology.
Yeah,
I don't know nothing.
No, like for you know, like dude, like for example, flat Earth, right? Jewish cosmology, it's a flat Earth.
There's still people today that believe it's
right because they reference.
Do you think it's flat Earth? Or
no, I'm not. But I'm saying because they reference like the Bible and shit, and you know that goes back to early Jewish cosmology, where like for example Noah's flood is a perfect example of this.
Where
do you think the rain in the myth of the Bible came from? They believed in the firmament. They believed again this in this universal water surrounding like the world or whatever. It was, you know, they thought it was a flat Earth.
I don't know where was
monsoons of some sort.
No, I guess so. But you know, the whole idea of like Noah's Ark is that as the whole story is based around a flat Earth because. In the myth of the flat Earth, the world is surrounded by water in the early Jewish cosmology. So, like again, it's another thing. And water, I mean, it's again, it's still taking a godly presence, a godly like sort of connotation of that. I guess the further hypothesis, which I don't think there's any evidence for this at all, is like, you know, I mean, like if water in a lot of these belief systems is deific, is godly, is primordial, like. Fucking we came from the fucking water.
Yeah.
So I wonder. I don't know if there's any evidence for this. I kind of doubt there would be. But like, I wonder if there's some connotation between. I don't know, some sort of biological thing with understanding that water is primordial.
Because our bodies consist of what?
Because like, well, I think this is a huge jump, and this sounds like.
Are you talking about tied to religion?
Sounds like he's talking about evolution.
No, yeah, kind of. Like, I feel like I doubt this is the case. That almost makes no sense. But it's kind of funny, at least in an allegorical sense, that like, you know, humans came from water. You know, we evolved from from the water.
A toad,
common ancestor.
Yeah, and many different religions and mythic systems, water is primordial. It's where like the gods reside, or that's where the universe began, or whatever. It's kind of funny how that worked out.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any strict connection, but
I'm a lizard man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like that's a little too much of a jump, but who knows?
I think that there's definitely something there. Yeah. I think a lot of the mythology and the religious writing has to do with those innate primordial things that humans dealt with for hundreds of thousands of years. And up until very recently, like probably industrialization, dealt with a lot more frequently.
Yeah.
So I think it's like we're mismatched based off of our like existence. Like we don't have to deal with water every day.
Yeah.
No. So we're kind of almost alienated.
We have paved roads and cities and highways. Mm-hmm. And
I think that's going to lead pretty neatly into the Unabomber section of this episode.
We should take a break.
Take a break. And that's perfect to lead into Ted.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll be back with our thoughts tonight.
Our thoughts tonight.
we're back with our thoughts tonight.
So we left off with Zach talking about
paved roads.
Yeah, paved roads, right? Or civilization.
Yeah, cities and paved roads.
Yeah, we don't have to worry about water, which is exactly what Ted Kaczynski said about technology and primal worries. Of course, he was kind of insane in other ways, but yeah, no, he died a few weeks ago. I think it's been like, how long has it been? Like,
about 2 weeks or so.
Yeah, 2 weeks.
How did he die?
Suicide.
That's what
they
say.
But there's no details.
I don't think, I mean, it could be suicide, but he was already sick beforehand.
He had cancer. Yeah, it was like late stage cancer.
He was they changed his prison because of like medical reasons.
Mm-hmm.
So, who's that one guy that trafficked girls?
Epstein.
Yeah. There are ties between that.
Oh, really?
Well, there's a lot of.
You knew Robert and Epstein?
No, there's no ties between them, but there's a lot of criticism in federal prisons right now because they aren't careful with high priority prisoners. They're not careful with if they're going to kill themselves or not. There was just a report out on Epstein today that we're talking about it on Breaking Points, where Epstein was intimidating the guards to get him more blankets and stuff, and he was like, I'll report you when I get out of here, and I mean this guy was so manipulative that he was able to manipulate guards in prison,
but in actuality he just needed more blankets to hang himself.
That's exactly what it was. So there's
that's guess. Yeah,
that's a good guess.
There's a lot of criticism on federal prisons for being not well organized in that sense.
Yeah, I mean, at least with the Unabomber, I don't know. I mean, like, I don't think he was like Epstein, where there's like some dark secret. I mean, that's not who he was. The West of One Regret. I've always wanted to write a letter to
Unabomber. You should say, for maybe people that haven't been listening to us for the last 4 years, why Kaczynski is so important to our thoughts tonight.
Dude, so we've talked about Kaczynski pretty much since day one of this podcast. In fact, one of the first few episodes that we had, which are probably not online anymore, I'm not really sure, was about Kaczynski. Like, I used to be obsessed with the Unabomber. I'm no longer that obsessed, but he had some decent ideas. I think he's overall kind of dumb, if I'm being honest. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, like, I always wanted to write a letter to him, and apparently he was super picky with his letters. Like, with who he responded to. So like,
he's like an English teacher grading your paper.
He was a math prodigy. He went to Harvard at like 16. He's a genius. And so in my mind, I was like, okay, he's old, but I gotta make it. I gotta like get up in credentials. And the thing, and this is a secret, is that he has connections. He wrote a book in prison, and the introduction was written by Michael Scribina at the University of Michigan.
It was called "How I Did It."
I don't know what it was called, but this guy's not a murderer. But Michael Scribina has his own book called "The Metaphysics of Technology." So I was like, oh, you go through to the Unabomber through him. You contact, and so I was thinking about all this shit, and then I just forgot about it, really, and then the guy died, and now it's too late. So the next guy, of course, is Scribina, who's not a murderer, and he's obviously a teacher, so that's great, but...
I wonder how his teachers felt. They're like, damn, such fucking potential, and this guy becomes a Unabomber?
But you know how he got caught is...
Teachers?
His brother, because his manifesto was his PhD, essentially. And so his brother recognized it and helped.
The handwriting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And also the lingo he used, too. So that's how he got caught, because they knew the ideas, they knew the language, whatever, handwriting. So
his brother could read his chicken scratch.
Yeah, essentially. And he got caught. So, yeah, he was a murderer, so that's fair. But
his brother was, too?
No, I'm saying the Unabomber.
Oh, okay.
He became a lifelong abolitionist of the death penalty after that, because he made a deal with the FBI that they wouldn't give the death penalty to the Unabomber.
Yeah.
And they said, okay. And they found him, and then they lied. So he almost got the death penalty, but he spent the rest of his life advocating against the death penalty, which... Well, I agree with 100%.
Wasn't the whole thing with the Unabomber's capture was that part of it was that they thought he was insane? He always denied that he wasn't insane. But in order to, like, at least from what he said himself, he was like, I'm not crazy. I'm sure
he's not
he was.
Insane.
No. I mean, the whole MKUltra shit, I'm sure, had some effect on him. But
was he a part of MKUltra?
Yeah. During his college years, they tested it on him. Like, I do not doubt.
I don't doubt that had an impact at all.
In addition, and that's the thing too. Like, I've talked so much about the Unabomber on the show. Like,
I remember we even read the manifesto. We talked about it. That was that episode,
right? Yeah. That episode. And like looking back on it, like honestly, his philosophy is pretty garbage. Like, I agree with his overall synthesis, but if you read the manifesto, it's just, it's pretty trash. So it's like, rip in pieces. But if you're gonna look into like anarcho-primitivism, there's other guys. There's Jurgen. There's,
I was just gonna say, the Luddites. Anarcho-primitivism.
Right. I mean, the thing is, what's it called? The Unabomber never even claimed anarcho-primitivism. He was like his own thing. He's like essentially apolitical. He was like, I'm not a leftist. He's definitely not a left.
He just thinks that he's his own thing.
He was pretty much against singularity and then like where technology had developed.
Well, kind of, but he was against technology in essence. Like, this is my main problem with, at first I liked this argument when I was younger, but it's incredibly flawed. His main reason for not liking technology is that he thought technology was, he basically viewed humans as like self-driven creatures that only focused on survival, when that is an extremely reductionistic account of humans. But if you base your entire philosophy based on humans being utilitarian, based on humans being reductionistic and only focused on survival, then yeah, technology is bad, of course, but that's not what humans are essentially. Like, that's maybe one part of it, but that's nowhere near the clear picture. So in his view, yeah, technology is bad because it limits human freedom. That's literally what the manifesto is. It limits mm-hmm. human, which is true. But again, and I'm sure you can argue that in other ways, but the way he argued it was essentially very egotistical. Like, we need to focus on survival because that's what humans are all about. That's all we care about. So, you know, technology is bad. So
yeah, he was definitely guilty of the naturalistic fallacy.
Yeah, naturalistic and genetic fallacy. Yeah,
that's ironic as hell, dude. Mm-hmm. Considering he's a Unabomber, he's like, technology is. Yeah.
Like, well, he made his own bombs.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, he still used technology.
Yeah, which would have been considered.
Well, to be clear, his idea of technology, he was okay with like very low, bombs, but his entire thing was local communities.
There's always an excuse.
Right, because the thing is, the whole idea with technology was that parts of technology are made on a global scale, and that limits autonomy from communities. So if you can make your stuff in a community locally, then that's fine. I'm sure his bomb materials were not local. I'm sure he got those materials somehow globally.
He managed to send them through the mail, which is practically global, USPS. Right.
I mean, he used the system against it, technically.
Don't try that at home, kids.
I mean, I wonder, because he signed the manifesto as the Freedom Club, implying there's a multitude of people that was behind the attacks. That's a conspiracy right there. Was there more than one Unabomber? Is the Freedom Club an actual thing?
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like,
it's just him.
It's probably just him
in flip flops.
Like, it's probably him and Scribino.
Yeah, he's just he seems like just a high functioning pathological guy.
And the manifesto is half of it. It's literally shitting on leftism, which has no connection to the book. I mean, it does kind of, but like, it's very dumb. Like, he calls like leftist activists the actual racists because they actually think they're the actual races. They think the minorities can't fight for themselves. Very baseline right wing shit.
Yeah.
But then he has a small part where he talks crap about conservatives, but it's nowhere near as much as leftists. The whole book is about leftists. For some reason, it has nothing to do with his like main point. Mm-hmm. So, yeah.
Sounds like a cry for help. And he's also at the same time, it's like all the bad things that he did is like, oh, I have friends and I'm not wrong. I'm going to just spout a bunch of shit that doesn't make any sense and has no parallels at all.
And the thing is, his ideas, I mean, if you want a better version of that, I forgot the guy's name, but there's a Christian anarcho-primitivist. That's like the grandfather of all this shit. I haven't read him that much, but I know he's like known for this stuff and he's taken seriously. That guy is more reliable than, you know, Ted Kaczynski, who was just a math guy. I mean, he was a math professor who had some random idea about technology. And he had no credentials on this shit. He wasn't like delving into the deeps about
research. He was just fucking winging it.
To me, it felt like he was winging it. I mean, yeah. I don't. His life passion was the sciences, STEM, math, you know, shit like that, solar sciences, I suppose. Yeah, but still,
it seems like very convoluted.
Yeah,
like his outlook. He's like, I'm the best at math, but I hate technology.
Yeah, like, yeah. I still wish I could have written to him, but.
What would you have said?
That's a great question. If I don't know.
Just like, yo, what's up, bitch?
I would have probably been like, oh, yo, I agree, like, generally with the final outlook, but I disagree with so-and-so. What do you think?
Making bombs out of toilet water. What's going on?
I have his newer books. I wonder, you know, he, at one point, he was in communication with, two other terrorists that were in the same Hymax prison. Oh, one okay. was a Christian.
I thought they were outsourced. I was like, how the fuck?
No. But they were all different. Like Unabomber's an anarcho-terrorist, right?
Sort of letters to pigeons outside the window.
And then he was this triangle of terrorists. It was him. These are all letters when they were in prison. Some sort of Islamic terrorist and a Christian fundamentalist.
And he was the only one without a beard.
Because he has a beard.
Okay. Never mind. They all got beards.
For a while he did.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm not sure why he was in prison, but they all talk to each other, and I like, dude. Maybe they're. I like, want to see those letters.
Maybe they're like
crazy
pen pals, or
they were pen pals. That's the crazy thing.
Yeah, and they were like neighbors.
I wouldn't
probably.
Doubt that
they were probably like cell to cell.
But isn't that crazy? Like a mujahideen, and a right wing terrorist, and a fucking primitivist
behind bars.
It's crazy. Like, what were they talking about?
I mean, it's not that crazy. I mean, you put any human being behind a cage, and it's like you're gonna cling to whatever's to the left and right of you.
That's true, but like, you know what I mean? Constant letters, like
I need some kind of human interaction. Hey, what's your name? What are you in here for? Like, that's your first immediate reaction if you're like, want to be my friend, so I don't get shamed.
Just imagine, letter, dude.
I need friends.
Cousins, he's like, man, fuck technology. The Muslim dude's like, for Allah, dude. It's like,
is luck would have it. He's got like two more fucking bombers side by side next to him.
Yeah.
Do you think that, like, when somebody who's an extremist like him, or the other guy too, who's being held in Guantanamo right now, the architect of 9/11, I can't remember his name. There's that really famous photo of him wearing like a white like wife beater shirt. I can't remember his name. God damn it! Let me look it up real quick.
No,
Sheikh Mohammed.
I knew that name.
Khalid Sheikh Mohammed.
Okay.
So he's been in Guantanamo for like 20 plus years.
Yeah.
But do you think these guys, like, after being held in bars, behind bars for, you know, 20, 30 years, Unabomber was behind bars for like 30 years, wasn't he? Yeah,
pretty much most of his life, over half his life was behind bars.
Do you think that, like, they forget about, like, the reasons why they did what they were doing?
No.
Or do you think they reinforced those ideologies?
Not the Unabomber, because he kept writing books in prison about the same ideas. I don't know about the other guys.
I mean, he's like so distanced from technology.
I guess it depends on the person, like who you're imprisoning. But do I think that they forget while they're there? No, because it's
while they're there. Yeah,
it's a constant reminder, like when they're while they're in there.
Yeah,
but
because they're still in it.
Yeah, but I guess
it depends on what they were fighting for.
Yeah,
like if they're really, trapped in the system, then they wouldn't forget about
it. If it really mattered to them, then like. For instance, like you said, the Unabomber is still writing books about the same old shit. So obviously that guy still believed in why he did what he did and how he did it. But I guess it depends on like their mental psyche and their belief system. And like if they actually truly did believe in it, or if they're like, oh, fuck, I fucked up. Let me, you know, now I'm going to read Bibles and go to counsel.
I mean, it might be a timeline, because I think with the Unabomber, he did stop writing books maybe like a decade ago. But I don't know if that was because of age or whatever.
He's like, no one gives a shit. I'm over it.
I mean, if he's making money essentially off books, I'm not sure he's making money
more
on
pudding
it.
Pops and prison, dude.
I'm sure there are plenty of people that read it.
Yeah. I mean, I have all his books. So.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I'm still buying it. Yeah.
Do you think that...
sick bitch. No, I'm just joking.
I mean, 35 like plus
fucking time.
Plus years in a prison.
In prison. And also a high max prison. Like, I don't know what they're allowed to do there. Like,
very little.
Probably nothing. You're just alone.
Like slide trays.
Supermax.
Yeah.
Into the door, and that's it. And like, here you go.
It's because he's just writing math problems, and he's like, this is why technology sucks. Dude.
Yeah, his fucking prison cell probably look like the Riddler's cell.
Dude, it's funny you mentioned the Riddler. I was thinking the Dark Side's anti-life equation. He's a math guy, right? So he's talking. He's writing the equation against technology. Nah, that's
it's like if they were the type of people to forget about their beliefs over a period of time, like 20 years, they wouldn't have been as extreme as to do it to the extreme that they did in the first place.
Yeah.
So, like, people that typically have those beliefs are going to hold those beliefs for the, you know,
remainder
of their lives, regardless of if they're in touch with them or not. But you would have to believe, like, not on a moment-to-moment basis. Yeah. Like, I'm sure to, like, even serial killers, like, because you know, we have like certain sub-selves within our brain that are engaged at certain moments. And one part of that for those guys, like, and also like people like Ted Bundy or like any serial killer, that part that's activated in their brain when they're killing people is a sub-self. But most of the time, they're not that person. That's why they're able to, you know, be somebody else. But for a period of time in themselves, I think probably a majority of the time, they're not that serial killer or Unabomber. Yeah. Most of the time throughout the day, they're not that person.
Oh, yeah, of course.
But that small period is very potent. I wonder what they're like when they're not, you know, being, you know, their extreme self.
Post-crazy.
Well, that's I'm sure they're just normal people on the regular basis. Mm-hmm. Like, that's they're living in their life world.
So, Timmy, you want to learn mathematics? And he's like, okay, I'll see you tomorrow. And it's like on the news.
Right.
Holy fuck.
Yeah.
It's my math teacher. What the hell happened?
Yeah, but I guess then the question is, like, how often are they actually thinking about it and conscious of these ideas or whatever? Like, someone like the Unabomber who's writing books, I can imagine it being somewhat present. But like, for example, you have like people go to jail and they'll turn to religion, you know, and that's kind of like their saving grace. They'll forget about their crimes, kind of. They'll kind of repent and kind of turn to some religious life. But if you're going to it for religious reasons, if you're going into prison for your religious goal, like, I don't know, but what would you do then? Like, because if you're in that state, I could imagine you'd be much more like susceptible to like religion or some sort of spirituality, like comfort yourself.
What do you think you would do
if I went to prison?
Yeah, if you went to prison for the remainder of your life, like, you know how people turn to religion, what would you turn to?
What
I'd probably
spirit. I mean, that's like, I think that's the most comforting thing is spirituality in an extreme sense like
hell
that.
Hell no.
It's the
play basketball.
I know the argument is like
it's a escape.
It's the it is an escape, but that's what you're gonna do. At least that's what I would think I would do.
I'd probably garden.
Oh, in prison?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Well, the point is some sort of comfort.
Yeah. Something.
But it doesn't have to be spirituality, but like you would go for something that's comforting.
I'd probably get smart as shit in prison, dude. I'd just be reading many fucking books.
A lot of people do that.
Working out.
Yeah. But you would have to believe that they don't turn towards material things, because material things are always going to be out of reach. But the spiritual things become more within reach because they're spiritual and fake, arguably. They're contrived.
It's basically the argument's like, it's not the greatest argument. It's basically the whole there's no atheists in foxholes or something like that. Like, in times of crisis, you're going to be, there's a lot, it's higher chance, I would assume, of turning to religion or spirituality of some sort. I'm not, but I could totally imagine myself in a situation like that. Going to that,
I could too.
Yeah, it's like why? How could you not?
No, not me. I mean, like, I can imagine you.
Oh, yeah. yeah. No,
you come out of jail with a monk haircut,
dude. But I mean, like, but imagine.
I genuinely feel like I'm too knuckleheaded to ever turn to religion.
Yeah, it's like
it's just too unbelievable for
one
me.
Of those.
But I don't know, like, who knows? Because like in that situation, you never know how you're gonna react.
That's what I'm saying. Is like, in a situation like that, like, logic and reason are out the window. You're not focused on what is the truth anymore. You're just focused on what the fuck makes you feel good. What is, like, your only save, like, dude, if
you go back to primal instincts, you're like, how the fuck am I going to survive this?
Right.
And you also,
the only way you survive it is believing in some sort of afterlife. Yeah. That's literally it.
And like, it may be because you want to find religion or whatever, but it also could be like, oh, I could find some fucking good people.
Yeah.
In this community, if I go and do this thing,
like, yeah, that's true too. Alice, there's like,
there's always spiritual. Yeah. Yeah, there's always
no the Oz the show where it's a prison show with like religious gangs.
In fact, they probably, you know, give you some sort of benefit if you become religious.
I'm sure, too. Yeah,
they probably like dock years.
But the question
shit.
I was asking is, what if you go to like a terrorist or whatever? You go into prison for that's based off of actions based off religion. Like, you're some sort of Islamic terrorist or a Christian fundamentalist.
Yeah.
Well, like, religion caused you to go to prison. What do you do then? Yeah. Like, either you're going to stick to that religion, but then realize that's what put me into this crap position, or you're going to abandon it and be kind of miserable in that state.
That's entrapment, bro.
Yeah. It's like, what do you do then? Like,
de-radicalize.
Huh?
De-radicalize.
Yeah.
Right.
That's when you become an atheist.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Is like, that's like your only real option, but then like, then how do you comfort yourself?
Dude, they waterboarded this guy 183 times.
Yeah, you just got to read many leather.
Essentially,
books.
He drowned 183 times.
Oh, yeah.
It's really, yeah, the Christopher Hitchens video, yeah.
And we'll be right back on Our Thoughts Tonight.
Our Thoughts Tonight.
Our Thoughts Tonight. We are back.
Hello.
All right. So we've talked about the Titan, the Titanic.
Titan.
Yep. And anarcho-primitivism and the death of the Unabomber.
Right. Right. I mean, there is... We can do final thoughts, but I was going to quickly mention the Trump. Well, I mean...
I just don't give a fuck.
I kind of...
I don't care what happens.
Well, you asked me a question.
What did I ask?
What did you ask?
I don't remember.
It was...
I ask a lot of questions.
Oh, right. Do you think he's going to be president again?
Oh, yeah. I was like, do you think he's going to be a president or right. be thrown in, like get charged?
Dude, I think him...
What is the likelihood of one or the other? Quick question, go.
More likely, him being president. But yeah, it's not 100%. I think it's... Him going to president is a genuine possibility at this point. Okay. I don't think it's certain.
I think RFK is going to win.
Yeah, I think so.
No. I want RFK Jr. to win.
He's not going to win, dude.
He has a chance, though.
I think he's going to win.
All right, second pop quiz question. How many more federal documents do you think Trump has in his house?
Bigly. I can't do a Trump accent.
Have you seen any of the RFK stuff? You haven't seen any of the RFK Jr. stuff?
No.
But why do you think he's going to win? Because, like, I mean, like, he's
Have
not.
Seen segments on people talking about him. Right?
No, like, that's like, fucking, what Democrats can take him seriously? Like, I love Marianne.
I don't know, dude. Marianne Williamson should win.
No, she
if you
should.
Ask me.
But that's the thing. Even as. Look, I love Marianne Williamson, but she's not doing very well. Poll wise, that's pretty normal.
Oh, why?
Because the
corruption. Because the establishment Democrats, or Democrats, period, are just fucking establishment cocksuckers.
I will say this. I think she's doing just as well as Bernie was doing at this stage. And Bernie did pretty well against Clinton, and Clinton was cheating.
Yeah, and Bernie lost.
Because Clinton was cheating. But Biden is still cheating now because he's not trying to do debates, which is just insane.
Biden doesn't know what he's doing.
Well, the people around him are. In a fair match, Marianne would have a lot more. But
if her voice were to be as equal,
right,
she would be winning.
But I'm saying that I think 100%. She has more. I just don't get the whole RFK thing. Like
Bernie's like stumbling around in the dark, stubbing his toes. Or not Bernie. Sorry, Biden. Correction.
Yeah. Yeah. No, Bernie health wise is fine. But you know who I think I'm going to vote for? Cornel West. I think Cornel West might vote.
Voting for Cornel West.
Cornel West.
Yeah.
Oh,
I agree. Either Cornel West, Marianne Williamson, and the third RFK Jr. Because RFK Jr. is at least willing to have discourse. I don't agree with him on...
Yeah.
I think we agree on some things like geopolitically.
Yeah.
And
if it was
and on poverty, environment, we agree on a lot of those things. But his disregard for science with regard to vaccines is a little bit too much for my taste.
The thing with that is like... I want to chalk that up as like one thing I disagree with, but that kind of shows a little bit of his mentality of...
stubbornness of
anti-science. I know he's all, you know, he's a bore for climate change, but it's not a good mindset to have. Like,
yeah, it comes off
and
as
things
negative.
I will, I mean,
if, he could just be saying that,
right? Yeah. That's true too, but
complete 180. He's like, I'm all about science.
I mean, if I'm in a swing state, I'll vote for Biden, but if I'm not in a swing state, I'll vote for Cornel West. It's like, that's my mentality of it.
Yeah. Would you vote for Trump?
No way.
Oh, okay,
actually, I will say this. If I was a Republican, I'd hella vote for Chris Christie. Not that I like Chris Christie.
Yeah, he's been making some good points lately. Yeah, I'll say that. Yeah, I agree.
So he's on point.
Dude, he was the Trump before Trump.
He's been shit-talking Trump so hard.
Yeah, the whole fat thing, you hear about the whole fat thing?
I didn't hear about that.
Because so Trump was calling Chris Christie fat, and literally on air, Chris Christie was like, he's like, yeah, I struggled with my weight, dude, but look at yourself in the mirror, dude. You're just as fat as I am, which is true. It's like, like Chris Christie, you know, Chris Christie is like that upper, like, he's kind of like the corporate, he's kind of like the money Republican, like, I'm from the Northeast, you know. You know, I'm not like super socially conservative. I'm just like, you know, I'm a big ball, big fat ass, you know. Yeah. And
Chris Christie's like, bro, you're wearing adult diapers. Check yourself.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, don't get me wrong. He's still a bitch and he's corrupt as hell. But I'll take him over DeSantis or
Trump. Aren't they all?
Yeah, he's got that. He's got that like rift with the Kushner kid.
Yeah, that's why Kyle Kalinske, man. Yeah, I'm not sure if it was his theory or he got it from someone else, but there was a whole theory of like, in the 2016 primary, Chris Christie was, and I remember this very vividly, he was going after like Marco Rubio and Ted Cruz and shit, and he wasn't going after Trump. And the whole theory was that he made a deal with Trump that he was going to be vice president. But then his beef with the Kushners came about and he got fucking sidestepped and he didn't get any
position.
Could
you imagine Chris Christie as vice president? Who do you think will be VP this time around?
For Trump?
Because he's going to eventually, he's going to win the Republican nomination.
Pence, dude.
If he's going to jail, that's a good point. I was going to say, though, I corrected myself, but there was a poll that was released. Dude, 80% of Republicans would still vote for Trump if he went to prison.
Of
he's going to take it. He's going
to take it. If anybody says,
Has that ever happened?
DeSantis. No.
Dude, DeSantis is a fucking clown. The
Twitter thing?
He's a fucking clown. Dude.
Bro, has that ever happened, like, the history ever? Like,
never. Going to president?
A presidential candidate?
It's not going to happen.
I know, but like,
it's never happened.
Let's imagine and say that it did. And he was imprisoned for whatever they accused him.
He wasn't allowed to be run. I mean, he can't run then.
He can't run if you're imprisoned?
I don't think so. Well, no, I don't know.
Yeah,
can you?
You absolutely can.
But you can't. Insane. You can't vote though if you were incarcerated.
So what? If you win the presidency, what are you going to do? You're still in prison.
That's what I'm saying. If you won the
felon,
you're going to govern the country.
You're
going to govern the country from prison.
I'm sure they make.
No,
they would
you're
make an exception,
you're the president. Yeah. You can just fucking get yourself out.
I would hope not. I mean, I'm sure it can happen, but that makes
it's
no
highly
sense.
Highly
that sounds
unlikely,
like dictatorship is what that sounds.
Well, yeah, I'm not surprised with Trump.
Highly unlikely.
Well, here's a question then. Then who do you think is worse, Trump or DeSantis?
I think DeSantis is worse.
I don't know, man. I think maybe.
Funny.
You know why? Because DeSantis is more competent legally.
I would think that, but the thing is that Trump already did so much bad shit while he was president. He was already incompetent. I mean, he was already competent enough to do his bad stuff.
Yeah, but it's like chaotic evil versus DeSantis, who literally oversaw Guantanamo Bay.
That's true. That's true.
So,
that's true.
DeSantis is a fucking... He doesn't have empathy and in any regard. Trump doesn't have empathy. But this guy has, I didn't think there was another level of a lacking empathy, but this guy is genuinely a fascist.
I don't know. Like, I struggle with the question because, like, the whole idea is, like, who's, like, more authoritarian? Like, we can make guesses of DeSantis, and I know he's a fascist and everything, but, like, Trump already tried the coup. Like, if he becomes president, he'll try that shit again to some extent. Like, so for DeSantis, I mean,
make America great, great again.
Yeah, who the fuck knows? I mean, either way,
double the great.
Greater.
Either way, well, your question was who's going to be Trump's VP, right? And man, I don't know, man. It's
what if it was Bernie Sanders? Wouldn't that send you for a mind boggle?
Dude, I would.
Did you see Marianne Williamson on what is that British cocksucker's name?
Oh my God, Piers
Morgan.
Yeah. I didn't see
it. It was great. It was great.
Good?
Yeah, no, Piers Morgan's great. Morgan,
he's a cocksucker.
I disagree with him completely, but I enjoy watching him.
He's not a guest.
He makes valid points sometimes.
He does sometimes. Yeah, and
like when people
he's
are
educated,
being stubborn fucks.
Well, he's British.
Like,
that's
well,
why.
You said this,
yeah, exactly.
So where
yeah,
are the
he's
facts?
British. That's why
he's somewhat educated.
A
in
British
comparison.
Conservatism, American communist.
Yeah,
yeah.
I recently saw Dawkins on his show. Too that
oh,
was
yeah.
great
the band Dawkins.
Oh my God,
Richard.
I'm just joking.
There's that one YouTuber. I look, you don't like him that much, but what's his name? Cosmically Skeptic. He's like an atheist YouTuber. He's like my age, and he went to Piers Morgan's shows like two times. I don't like the guy because he's kind of pretentious, but yeah dude, this guy Piers Morgan invites this like random YouTuber on a show twice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
did you see Chomsky? Dude, he gave Chomsky full airtime for like
amazing.
40 minutes.
Wow.
It was amazing.
He's crazy, man.
He's a right wing guy, but I gotta give him respect. He's better than any of the American pussies around here.
Just no, that yeah. This is yeah. I was gonna say though, the whole Trump thing where he wants to ban communists and socialists.
Yeah,
he
yeah.
wants to ban dude.
Yep. He's gonna deport them. I was like, fuck. I've been hanging out with PSL lately too.
So my God, dude. Yeah, you're getting deported, dude.
Should we do final thoughts?
Yeah.
All right, what's your final thought?
Yeah, I used to be obsessed with Unabomber. I say if you want a better anarcho-primitivist or an actual anarcho-primitivist, just read John Zerzan. I think his name is John. Zerzan. Z-E-R-Z-A-N. That's like an actual...
Zerzan?
Zerzan. Something like that.
Zerzan.
He's like an actual anarcho-primitivist. Like, and he's like legitimate about it.
This is a random thought.
Random final thought.
Random thoughts tonight.
Random thoughts tonight.
R-O-T.
I wonder if there's like the same problems like with insects or like ants, like political fucking, you know.
No, but there is with there is with different types of chimps.
Yeah,
they have a hierarchy.
Yeah,
dude, there was a
something
dude. There were
like
wars in like Rwanda and shit. There were like civil wars between chimps. It's insane. Dude,
and some are 98% chimp.
Right.
Oh, dude, we gotta look this shit up. I want to watch this now.
No,
I love animals. I love monkeys.
This is turning into Joe Rogan podcast, dude. Orangutans are fucking spear fishing now, dude. It's crazy.
Are you serious?
It's crazy.
I heard that
orangutans are smart as hell.
There was like some chimps or something like that. Like over time, like they started getting like these elongated, like oval heads or something like that, and then like women were, but like women chimps were more attracted to it. then like over time,
that's evolution right there, yeah,
ended up happening to other chimps.
Yeah,
because that's literally evolution.
It would be selection.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It was selection based. So then like
right.
Now all of them.
I will say the whole
fucking weird.
Final thoughts?
I already had mine.
Yeah, I had mine. It was about the ants.
Right.
Oh, okay.
What's your friend?
All right.
It just dragged out to a lot of different things.
Final trees. Thought is I think I want to make a comment on Ocean Gate since we started off with that.
Oh, yeah.
It's just such a classic example of hubris.
Yeah.
And I think that I've said this before. Always check your fucking arrogance.
Yeah.
It's like a human error that's been made for like generations.
Right.
Anyway, our thoughts tonight.
Oh, shit. Hold up.
What?
Everybody, I have a degree now, so.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yeah, big boy walking with a degree now.
Our thoughts tonight.
Our thoughts tonight. Oh, to write a song that has no meaning at all. That doesn't touch a personal nerve or heed a social call. That knows no up or down. That has no right or wrong. That doesn't need a reason to waste some time with song, just like that old time. Rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll. And I'll sing ba 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 ba. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Oh, to sing a song that doesn't let it all hang out. That doesn't wave any flag or have any slogan to shout. That knows no east or west. That has no left. That doesn't throw any stones or look for any fight, just like that old time. Rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll. And I sing ba 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 ba. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Just to write a song that won't mend a broken heart. That won't woo you like a lover or promise a brand new start. That doesn't preach of rain and fire or heed any higher call. That doesn't need a reason to mean nothing at all. Just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll. And I sing ba-bop, shabop, and whoa, whoa, whoa. Just like that old time rock and roll with the easy chords and a touch of soul. Give me old time rock and roll. And I sing ba-bop, shabop, and whoa, whoa, whoa. Ba-bop, shabop, and whoa, whoa, whoa. Ba-bop, shabop, and whoa, whoa, whoa.